Morning, sir. Okay, good morning. We're going to be looking at lesson number 9 here in a minute. Jesus is the resurrection, John 11 and 12. Who's this distinguished fellow with a bow tie? Okay, any prayer requests? Yes, Mike? Is that the one?
Lake Mills.
Okay, I was saying Watertown, but it was out that way. Yeah, okay. All right. What's the one in Indiana?
I don't know. She doesn't call me. Oh.
Teresa. Oh, okay. All right. I'll leave that alone. Okay. Mark? Have you got an appointment with that new doctor yet, or?
The 29th. What he is a neuroradiologist specialist. So I have to have all new MRI. And he evaluates them. And then he directs me to the right specialist.
Oh, okay.
To do those procedures.
Is that 29th of this month?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We have a praise that we all came back from St. Louis time, the band and all. We had a good trip. No one got hurt. No problems with the trailer or the bus. So we're happy that's behind us and we can all speak now.
You're going to start here about 9:30? Oh, okay, yeah, that's a long way to go. Okay, yes, sir.
For Margie, she was experiencing a lot of chest congestion this morning. We hope it gets better by tomorrow.
Yeah, ooh, yeah. Okay. All right. Don?
My dad is recovering from hip hernia surgery. He's doing okay, but he'll have to be home for a while.
Okay. The throat thing's still working all right?
Yeah.
That's good. Fix one thing and something else goes wrong. We're kind of like old cars, aren't we? Yeah, right. Okay. Anything else? All right. Morning. Thanks for coming and not bringing the cold weather with you. Yeah. Okay. All right, let's pray for these and then we'll move along. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for each one here. We do pray for those that may not be feeling well, not able to be here. Pray for Margie as she's got problems with chest congestion. Pray that you'd bring healing there for that. Also for Karen Norcross as she's having problems with leg pain and hard to get around. We pray, too, for Mike's daughter, Kathy, as she goes in for surgery tomorrow. You give the doctors the skill they need to do the surgery, to do it well. She'd have a good recovery from that. For Mark, as he's looking to a new doctor to evaluate his shoulder issues and what needs to be done, the right doctor to be able to do the work that needs to take care of. We pray that you just guide each step of the way and that he might find a relief in the days soon ahead. We thank you for bringing Bob and Matthew and Emma and the rest of the kids safely down to St. Louis and back again. And we just thank you for Journey Mercies there. For Don's dad, as he recoups from hernia surgery, that he'd have good healing and that he'd obey the doctor's orders on what to do and not do until he's healed up. We thank you for this time now that we study your word, we can find help and hope there. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, mentioned here, lesson number 9, if you're in your books, looking at John 11 and 12 here, we see here that it's entitled, Jesus is the Resurrection. He's the resurrection and the life. And we see here, this is the portion of Scripture that deals with Lazarus. There in chapter 11, this is kind of his seventh or sign or miracle that he performs. And most of you are probably familiar with that account, how Lazarus had been sick. He was a good friend of Lazarus and his sister, Mary and Martha. And they'd sent word to Jesus. You know, they know he's able to heal. And they're hoping that he'd come back to Bethany and heal Lazarus. Yet Jesus stays away 2 more days to the point where he ends up telling his disciples, you know, that it's not, he's not just sick, but that he died. And we pick this up, 11, let's see, well, let's jump in about verse 3. It says, "And therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the God might be glorified thereby. And now Jesus loved Martha and her sister," which would be Mary, "and Lazarus. And when he heard, therefore, he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And then after that, he said to his disciples, Let's go to Judea again." Now, I don't know if you remember, Jesus had kind of escaped the clutches of the Pharisees and others. Prior to this, they'd tried to stone him, and the disciples are a little bit hesitant about going back. you know, they don't know. They might not just stop at stoning Jesus. They might, you know, decide to stone him, stone the rest of them. And they're questioning him a little bit about this. Verse 8, "His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" You know, it's like, why are you want to go back? "And Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. If a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things he said he, and after that he said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I might awake him out of sleep." And they're thinking, okay, he's taking a nap. Do you like to be woken up from your nap? Phone rings just to find out that your car warranty is expired and and your credit card, they need to do some work on it or something. Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleepeth, he shall do well." Okay, he's sick, he's sleeping. You know, that's a good thing. "Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in the sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead." Okay. And And yet the surprising thing that he says, this is probably not what most people would expect to hear when you hear somebody's died. Verse 15, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Why would Jesus be glad that Lazarus died? I mean, it wasn't like his arch enemy, you know. It's somebody that loved. Gail?
Well, maybe because he knew raising Jesus from the dead would even be more of a miracle than just he would have came earlier and healed him.
Yeah, right. Other people give medicine and healing take place. Not too many people are raising people from the dead, right? Okay. And ultimately, God would get the glory for this. So, Lazarus hadn't done anything wrong in that sense. He hadn't done some great sin, and so God just says, I'm taking you out. Ultimately, it was going to bring glory to God, that God allowed this to take place. You stop and think about that. You know, I mean, other than Jesus, who knew how this was going to turn out, the rest of them, it probably sounded horrific. You know, this is awful. Lazarus, his good friend, has died. Is it possible that maybe there in our own lives there can be tragedies of one kind or another that, at least on face value, it looks like it's a horrible thing, but we don't know the rest of the story. We don't know what God's doing behind the scenes, how it's going to turn out. And again, this wasn't something that God ran by Lazarus ahead of time. Here, Lazarus, I got this idea. What do you think of this? You die, I'll raise you up. If I don't have that ability, okay? But if I were to say, okay, we're going to have this revival. Who wants to volunteer to die, and we'll raise you up, and we'll see what happens. Yeah, no hands. Well, again, Jesus didn't ask him. and yet that's what it took place. And the other thing I was thinking about, and he doesn't really get into that, but Scripture doesn't either, so I don't want to tread too far out on that limb, but can you imagine the testimony that Lazarus had after this is all over? You know, I mean, it puts a whole new light on, hey, guess what happened to me today? Yeah, right. And nobody's able to one up that one, you know? Yeah, I mean, it's just like, wow. Well, and that's kind of the end results. So let's follow the, I know you know the story, but let's go ahead and look at this a little bit. And I guess I'm trying to bring in how it would impact our lives if we had been there, or we had been Lazarus or whatever. So they arrive in Bethany. Lazarus has been dead for how many days now?
Four
days. Okay. They weren't kind of embalming them like they do nowadays. Okay. And I'm not a ghoul, but I was kind of curious. I thought, okay, what happens to a person after 4 days? And I won't get into the nitty gritty stuff. But
there's a little bit of a stench.
Well, yeah, there's some smell involved, okay? Because it starts to decay. And it says, you know, it's like your inner organs start to decay right away. And it was saying, too, that the brain is one of the first things to go because it's full of water and it starts, you know, shrinking. And we'll just kind of leave it to your imagination after that. But so there in 4 days, there was some real bad stuff happening inside Lazarus' body. It wasn't just like, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, and he's, you know, same shape he was 4 days before that. So it's bringing him back to life, but it's putting life back into those organs and his brain and, you know, everything else that had already started to fall apart, okay? You know, Mary and Martha, you know, they end up meeting Jesus, you know, Jesus is here, okay. Sure would have been nice if you'd have been here a few days earlier, you know, not so much as a rebuke, but, you know, regret, you know, we wish that you'd have been here. We really believe that you could have healed him, and they believe that he still could. And Jesus, well, you know, Lazarus is going to rise again. Well, they'd studied their, or listened to Jesus tell about this and his teachings to them. They knew there was going to be a resurrection. Well, yeah, I know. One of these days, you know, we're all going to be resurrected. Lazarus is going to be resurrected at the last day. But Jesus kind of says, nah, wait a minute. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Okay. And we're going to make this happen a whole lot sooner. We're not going to wait till everybody else is resurrected. We're going to deal with this here and now. And so she's asking him, or asking her, you know, do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? And we see that, you know, she does believe this. Let's see if we can pick this up. John 11, let's see, verse 25. Well, okay, Martha, back in verse 24, Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day. You know, kind of way down the road a ways. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Okay, when he says you're never going to die, does that mean you're never going to die physically? No. We can, many already have, millions and probably billions of people have already died, but what's the Bible say? Absent from the body, present with the Lord, okay? They may put the body in the ground, but we see that the spirit soul goes to be with the Lord instantaneously. And the way I understand it is, and I how I explain it, it's the last breath on earth, the next breath is in heaven. It's with the Lord as a believer. And that's a great comfort. And we're going to have everlasting life. And at the rapture, the Lord's going to raise up that old dead body, change it. So all these parts that have been wearing out over the last X number of years, you keep an eye out for Mark when we get to heaven, okay? He'll be the guy that's up there going, shoulders are awesome, you know? He's leading the calisthenics in the morning, him and Richard. Remember, Richard did it at the retirement place. But Mark may be doing, yeah, it's all brand new. And, you know, we joke about here things, you know, wearing out. We get replacement parts. Some of it they can replace. Some of it they kind of try to put a little new life into it, help it last a little few more years. And but there, everything's going to last for eternity. No more death and dying, no more tears. We're not going to be sad, but we're not going to be hurt and saying, oh, sure wish I had some ibuprofen about now. You know, that's history. It's all gone. And so Jesus is the resurrection and the life. We're never going to be separated from God again. But then he asks Martha, you know, do you believe? And 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? And she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, or the Messiah, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she said so, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the Master is come and call us for thee. And so we see Martha here is a believer. She had a real understanding of who Jesus was. And so they go out to the tomb. And, you know, Jesus is 100% God, but he's also 100% man. That's hard for us to wrap our heads around, you know. But that's what he is. And as a man, he had emotions. I mean, God has emotions too. But he's saddened by all this, you know. His friend died. All these people are standing around crying. And it tells us that Jesus joins him, verse 35. So when you say, I can't memorize scripture, that's not true. You can memorize scripture. You can memorize verse 35. Jesus wept. Okay? But it was real. He was saddened by all this. And other people knew that too. The Jews, behold how he loved him. And you know, and then they're starting some questions. And some of them said, could not this man, which openeth the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? You know, I mean, they're wondering about some of this. They've seen some of this stuff happen already. And Jesus has them roll away the stone. And, you know, Martha, you know, jumps in about now. He's been dead 4 days. You know, this is not going to be good. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Here comes God's glory. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead lay. You know, he may not have been the only one in there. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Jesus had been talking to his father about this before he got there. But he's saying this out loud so everybody else knows that he's talking to his heavenly Father. He says, I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He wanted them to know he was sent from God. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Why was it important that he said Lazarus? Yeah. We might have had a whole lot of dead people coming out of that grave, all right? And, yeah, so he comes forth. Okay, he's been dead 4 days, not too good a shape, and yet he's up, you know, and I don't know if we think of people being wrapped, you know, how's he, you know, is he coming out of the grave? Here I am. Somebody take this off of me. You know, well, he comes, well, it says, verse 44, and he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot, with the grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said, loose him, let him go. How would you like to be the one to start unwinding him? You're not knowing what you're going to get underneath all this. Yes.
I think it's kind of neat, too, that he wanted the disciples to be part of that by having them take the grave clothes off. Because he could have just raised him, you know, when he wouldn't even have them.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's just, he walks out. Hi, guys. What y'all standing around out here for? Why? What's with the tears? Yeah. And let's see what happens here, though. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and seen the things which Jesus did, what? Believed on him. Okay? If there was any doubt in their mind, they said, this guy's for real. And they believed on what they had heard up to that point, okay? There was a moment where they believed. And that happened, you know, a lot of people, you know, we don't all respond to the gospel the first time we hear it. Sometimes we're hearing it over and over again. But there's a point in there somewhere where the light comes on and we understand, we believe, yes, Jesus is the Savior and I'm trusting in him for my salvation. And that's what's happening here. So there's this exciting, there's this wave of excitement going through the group. You know, we don't know exactly how many people are there, but it sounds like there are quite a few. Okay. Is everybody excited? Look at verse 46. And some of them went their way to the Pharisees. Pharisees, Jesus' buddies? No. They were religious leaders of that day, but they were already trying to figure out a way to get rid of him. This guy's causing us problems. And they told them what things Jesus had done. Okay? So they get there, they're telling the chief priests and the Pharisees what's going on, and verse, you know, the caution light's coming on for them. They're, what are we going to do with this guy? Verse 48, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both, what? Our place and nation. They were thinking about old number one. What's going to happen to us? If they all follow Jesus, we're out of a job, you know? The Romans allowed him to take over. You know, they don't know if he's going to lead one of these insurrections or what. This guy's got to go. So some believed, but there was also, at the same time, some that did not believe. And I don't know if you thought much about this, but you know, here you've just seen, you've been standing there along with all these other people. You've seen Jesus raise up this guy that's been in a tomb for 4 days, and they don't believe. They choose not to believe. Instead, they run off to the Pharisees to tattle on him. Look what Jesus did. If Jesus is not getting through to people with a miracle, or raising somebody from the dead, I'm just saying this, we ought not to get too discouraged when we talk to people and they don't respond. And you didn't raise anybody from the dead, okay? When Jesus did something mighty, not everybody believed, okay? And the thing is, just so we got it straight, it's not seeing somebody raised from the dead that's going to change everybody's mind, okay? The Word of God says that God has to work in their hearts and minds, okay? We're not too far away. Back in John 6:44, says, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. But these folks chose not to believe. Okay? They had that free choice to believe or not to believe. They said, no, we're not going to believe in this guy for whatever reason. As a result of that, they're... their hearts and minds are really closed. I mean, it's slammed shut, okay? And it's probably not going to be some convincing argument that you or I are going to come up with that's going to change their mind. It's only when God goes to work on their hearts and minds that changes them, that helps them to want to believe, okay? Doesn't mean you give up on people. You know, keep praying for them. God can, you know, hardest of hearts, he can, I keep holding up Paul, and there's probably other ones too, but, you know, Paul was a Christian persecutor and killer, if you will, to Christians. And God turned his heart and mind around to the point that he became a disciple and an apostle and was greatly used of the Lord. But God's got to do the work. And, well, we see here they ran off to tell the Pharisees about this. Caiaphas is the high priest at that point, and he's saying, this guy's got to go. This guy's got to go. They've tried a few other times, but it was kind of a spontaneous decision. You know, he said something, he claimed to be God, so they're ready to stone him, you know, or throw him off a cliff or different things. And he was able to get away from them. But now they're starting to lay out plans. This guy has to be eliminated for our sake, you know. you know, if we want to hang on to our positions, we want to hang on to our nation, this guy's going to mess it up for us. And so we see this in verse 49. He says, and one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient. Okay, it's expedient. It's necessary for us that one man should die for the people and not the whole nation perish. So they're kind of, it's better that Jesus die than all of us. You know, they're willing to sacrifice Jesus so that they can hang on to what they have. And 51 says, and this spake he not of himself, but the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation. And so we see here that they're plotting and planning, how are we going to get rid of this guy? And from that point on, Jesus wasn't out in public like he had been up to that point, because he knew that's what their plan was, and he knew his time wasn't ready yet. He had a job to do, but it wasn't ready to go just yet. Well, we see here that that was kind of the pinnacle of Jesus' ministry, was the resurrection of Lazarus. And it convinced a lot of people, even religious leaders, to trust Jesus. And yet they were, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, were desperate to have Jesus taken out of the way. Jesus didn't run off into the wilderness and hide someplace, but he does come back to Bethany and then on into Jerusalem that last week before the crucifixion. He's 6 days, he's coming back into town now. The Passover is about to take place. We find this in chapter 12. But we see just prior to that, that again, they were still plotting and planning on how they could get rid of him. Verse 57, both the chief priests and Pharisees given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. Okay, so they got the lookouts out. If you see Jesus, let us know. We're going to get him. And yet, 6 days prior to the Passover, we see here Jesus coming back into view. He's at Bethany, he stops, and has a meal with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. That's where Mary ends up getting out this very expensive perfume, and usually they're anointing somebody's head with that as a way to honor them, but instead she puts it on his feet and dries that off with her hair, which was not the normal way of doing things, but many believe that was just her showing, trying to honor Jesus, but in humility, putting it on his feet and drying it. And what does Judas think about all this? Judas not happy. It was wasteful. What should we have done with that money instead?
Judas would have got a cut of it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. Judas, and I think you probably know that, but Judas was kind of the acting treasurer. And, you know, so he's the one who held the bag. And apparently the bag had holes in it. And some of it's fallen out of the bag into his pockets. And he was hoping to, you know, get that, you know, let's sell this for the poor. Only he needs to skim off some of it for himself and give it to the poor. Do we still hear that today? Yeah. And yes.
Social justice.
Right. Yeah. You know, I'm trying to be good today, but it's hard.
Sorry.
You know, all right. Instead of spending all that money building a wall, let's give all that money to the poor. Okay? Is just giving more money to the poor, does that solve problems? No. It just makes them dependent. And, okay, well, we'll leave it there. Okay, so Judas, you know, he's protesting this, and, you know, Jesus knows exactly what's going through his mind. He knows this is the guy that's going to betray him. I realize, you know, Jesus is God, but he's also man. To work with somebody, really, for 3 years, knowing that this guy is going to turn you in for some money at the end, you know? He's listened to his sermons, he's seen the miracles, everything else, and yet he chooses to betray the Lord Jesus. And that had to hurt. But we see here, you know, Jesus is in town, small town Bethany. Everybody knows about it. You know, they're still excited about what happened to Lazarus. They didn't have their cameras out there, but they had their own version of the paparazzi, you know. if we had Jesus here and we had Lazarus here, there'd be people peeking in the window. They just want to see let me get a glimpse of this guy, you know. It's like people when the president's coming to town or something else, they're out there lining the streets. They just want to be able to look and see, you know, say, I saw him. Well, that's kind of what with Jesus. And some of them, again, they'd like to see Lazarus. You know, I'd like to see what this guy looks like. You know, it was on the front page of the Jerusalem Post, but, you know, I still like to see him in person. And we see that, again, Jesus is worthy of praise here. And they're coming into town. They're heading into Jerusalem. They've already, many of them have cut off palm branches, and this is kind of what they did when a king would come in, you know. And they're waving the palm branches, and blessed be the King of Israel. Hosanna, blessed be the King of Israel. And they're quoting some Old Testament scriptures that would refer to the Messiah. Now, these people were excited to see Jesus, but who were they? They were looking for what? King Jesus? What were they really hoping Jesus would do? Yeah, get us out underneath the Romans, okay? And yeah, Jesus wanted to set them free, not necessarily from a political standpoint of the Romans, but to set them free from sin. And they tell us, I don't know if it was in your book, but it's saying Hosanna means save now, we pray. Okay, so they're looking to Jesus to be their deliverer. Disciples are not putting all this together. I mean, they look back, kind of like we do sometimes, 20/20 hindsight, and you kind of see, oh, now I see how this all fits together. But they didn't understand exactly everything that was going on at this particular moment either. And, you know, they're excited. They're going into town along with Jesus. He's being honored you know, they're connected with him, and that's great. But, you know, a few days later, they're hiding out because, you know, what they did to Jesus, they might do to us. But Pharisees, you know, they're thinking, oh, man, this things keep getting worse. Now the whole town's following this guy. And about this point, you know, so there were some other people that wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to talk to Jesus. And Jesus really, at this point, kind of almost like stiff arms them. He's saying, my hour is about to come. He's got a week ahead of him. He knows exactly what's ahead of him. He's staying focused. He's not getting sidetracked. You know, he's given out the opportunity to people to come to him. He does say it this way there in verse 23 says, Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And he's referring to himself, just like a whether it's corn or wheat or whatever, you got to plant it in the ground, has to die to germinate, to come back up, and to bring fruit. And Jesus ultimately had to die to bring about the salvation that we were all in need of. And he knew that he had to follow through with his part of it all. He's worthy of our belief. Jesus realizes what's coming up to him. He said there in verse 30, I'm going to have to jump ahead here. He says, Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. This is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, shall draw all men unto me. Now when he's saying, I'm going to draw all men unto me, doesn't mean that everybody's going to be saved. Ultimately, they're all going to stand before Jesus, either as Lord or as their judge. And he's saying, this signifying what death he should die. And the people answered him, says, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever, or the Messiah abides forever. And he said, how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? So there's a question in their mind. They're thinking, the Messiah is supposed to live forever. And yet you say you're the Son of Man and you're going to die. How can you be the Messiah if you're going to die? They're not putting all these, they don't see how it all comes together. And yet Jesus, he continues on. The Messiah is going to live forever. Yes, he lays in a grave for 3 days or a part of 3 days and arises and he lives forever as the Son of Man, as the Messiah. We need to get beyond the questions at this point. And again, many had believed, many had trusted Christ to be their Messiah, to be their Savior. As we mentioned, some of them had rejected Jesus, even though they saw the miracles and listened to his sermons and everything else. And because of that, we see here that God hardened their hearts. Isaiah talks about that, they were unable to believe from that point on because their hearts were hardened. And he's given them appeal. He's given them the opportunity. And it's the same thing today. You know, there's altar calls. People have the opportunity to come to Christ. But at some point, it's kind of last call, you know. And the rapture is going to take place. People are going to be left behind. It doesn't mean they can't get saved, but it's not a guarantee that they will. And so the best thing that we can do is to share the gospel with people here and now that they might respond. And that God would work on their hearts and the Holy Spirit would convict them, help them to see their sin in need of a Savior and be drawn to him. And we'll see more of this as we continue on here. But we see, you know, Christ was, he did some marvelous things. And for most people, you'd think it would have turned their hearts and lives around. And yet still some chose not to believe. And we may be working with some of those people. Don't give up on them. Keep praying. God's still able to turn hearts and lives around, but they won't be won by an argument or even a miracle. It's going to be because God's working on their hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and its truth. We thank you that Jesus sought to spread the good word, that there is life eternal. There is everlasting life for those who would choose to believe in him as their Savior, and that he alone is able to forgive their sins and give them that gift of eternal life. And we pray that each one here may have or soon come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Give us motivation to tell others that still need to hear. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you. Oh, this is nothing to do with our lesson. Just something I don't know as I was aware of, and I don't know if you are. But apparently today is the day that our area codes, our phones, 414-262-920-608, you got to dial all those numbers, 10 digits. You can't just dial the last seven anymore. If you do, it's going to probably tell you, you need the rest of the numbers to get through to people. And I don't know why today is the day, but that's what, it was some kind of news item that popped up on my phone. So when you try to call your kids or somebody else or the neighbors and it won't work, it's not your phone messed up. It's just, you got to put all the numbers with it. So, okay. That's your bright light for the day. You never know what you're going to hear from church, right?
Oh my gosh,
for all the stuff I say, yeah, don't worry about it.